There are some who believe the local church is an optional part of the Christian life, while there are others who say that to not be a part of a local church is sin. So which is it?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like this video. We have podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., so I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so I know some people are going to think, okay, well, this is just because you guys work in a church. You're trying to get everybody in the church.
Yeah.
Just because that's your career. But I hope we can look past the fact that we are leaders in the church, and let's get to the place where we're looking to see what the Bible says about the church.
Yeah.
So, Trey, you recently watched a video that kind of posed this idea that we're tossing out today.
Yeah.
So talk about that, what you saw, what it said.
Yeah, so I follow a guy, his name's Elijah Lamb. He's a young, in his early 20s, traveling speaker, really good at building up the church, and again, people hire him out, and he speaks to youth groups and all this kind of stuff. So I followed him for a while, and he posted a video with a friend of his with a clickbaity tag to it, you could say, where it said, basically, he's like, is not going to church a sin? Which makes you go, what? There ain't no way. Like, that, you know, what about this person and that person? Mm-hmm. You're telling me all these people are living in sin.
Yeah.
But they say, hey, according to church history, this is actually what the church has taught, is that not going to church is a sin. And so in our day and age, we would say, well, what about like a Bible study? What about a friend group? Isn't the church, isn't it just a people instead of a building? And, you know, I can be around Christians and that's church. And their point was, it's good, but it doesn't replace what a local church offers. It doesn't replace the function of what a local church is. And they were saying the way to participate, to interact with, and be a part of the worldwide current living Christians, the universal, you could say those past and those in the future Christians, and to be a part of the invisible church that is the Christians who are all in one body, the only way in which to participate and interact with that is by the church that is gathered locally in your area or around you or in a place in which you can engage with them. Mm. Where there is real authority, where there's pastors, where there's elders.
Yeah.
And their point also is the Bible literally was written to, let's talk about the New Testament here.
Right,
the New Testament letters were literally written to local churches, gathered bodies, the people in Corinth, the Christians in Corinth, the Christians in Rome, the Christians in Thessalonica, you know, like they're written to them and to pastors, to Timothy, you know? And so their point is that is where the word of God was given. Mm-hmm. And so we need to continue in that. And they would say, to be apart from the church is to be apart from where God is meeting people, and where or what is being apart from God, they would say that is sin.
Mm.
So that's their that's their point of the church, be a part of it. If you're not going, if you're not plugged in, if you're not a member at, is it a sin?
Yeah. So let's just take the counter-side for just a moment, because there are a lot of things that people would say to that.
Yeah. And instantly, you are probably thinking, come on, what about, and what about, and we hope to answer those.
Yeah, so let's just start with one that people most likely will toss up and say, hey, the church is not a building, it's a people.
Yeah.
And therefore, if I'm with people who are Christians, then I am the church. And in fact, I've heard that people say, I'm the church, and wherever I go is the church.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be in a building for that to happen.
I'd say incorrect. In the sense of it is not just about you. It's about gathering with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about what defines what a church is.
Right.
So say there's a Christian school. Okay, well, there's a gathered body of believers. Does that then make it church every day?
Mm.
But from what are the distinctives of what a church is, you know, it's where there is a place. Yes, it's a people.
Yes.
But the people gather in a building.
Yes.
Where church takes place. And what you could say is church are, some people would use the word the sacraments, or you could use the word, or you could use just saying where worship of God is taking place, yes, where God's word is being preached, proclaimed,
yes,
where there is baptism, where there is communion,
yep,
where there is prayer. Those, yep, five things, yep, are easy, like marks of what a church is.
Yeah, where there is a pastor who, yep, is the leader.
Yes.
There's a shepherd. That's a biblical concept.
Yes. That is.
You see it.
Yes.
Old Testament pictured, New Testament reality.
Lived
there
out.
Was a pastor in the churches. In, yeah, fact, when, hey, you, even when, mm-hmm, you, when you see in the book of Revelation, and it says, I'm writing to the angel at the church. Mm-hmm. The wording there is a word that means a pastor,
yeah,
a shepherd,
the messenger,
a leader.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The one who is the leader in that church. So a church, according to the Bible, has, like you said, there's structure, there's order, there's, mm-hmm, a leader, there's a leadership structure, there's a set of doctrine,
yeah,
that is believed. Mm-hmm.
And lived out.
And lived out. There is discipleship that occurs. There is older to younger and younger to the older. Did I say,
yep,
older to younger, younger,
yep,
to older?
Yep. Yep.
And then there's even discipline that takes place,
yep,
all in the authority,
yeah,
and the structure,
so good,
of a church. That and makes, so, a real church.
It's not just about, are there just some Christians who are gathered together having a good time? Because, like,
right,
when our family gathers together, it's our family. It's not that we're having church.
Correct.
We are not functioning as a church.
No.
We are a part of the church, yes.
Yes.
But the church is alive when those things are taking place,
yeah,
when those marks of a church,
yeah,
are actually happening.
And the church is carrying out the function that Jesus called it to, of going into all the world and making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So when our family all gets together to celebrate a birthday, there are Christians who all go to church, and we make up church members, but when we gather at our home, that is not church, mm-hmm, necessarily. Even though we might read a Bible verse, sing, or pray,
mm-hmm,
that's still not church. I'm, mm-hmm, not pastor,
yeah,
you know, over,
yeah,
the,
you're not
over
functioning
that flock
in that role
there.
In, yeah, the, and I do find it interesting. You know, we talk often about, like, the pendulum swing that happens, mm-hmm, of, like, so you look back at, like, the medieval times, you know, and you see the Gothic churches that are very elaborate, mm-hmm, and they're built very intentionally, and, like, all this stuff. The focus was on this place there, where this local, regional, mm-hmm, area of Christians are going to gather. We're going to make this place beautiful and bring glory to God here.
Yep.
We want to display what God has gifted us with to Him and worship Him with our gifts. And so, yep, there was this big push to make beautiful cathedrals, make beautiful churches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of that in the day and age in which we are in,
mm-hmm,
because I was never a part of something that's like, wow, look at this. Like, you see some churches in Europe, and it's like, this church has taken hundreds of years to build, and it's like generations have built, mm-hmm, it, and it's beautiful, and it's, mm-hmm, incredible. And so then you have people who are like, oh, church is just a people. It's like, well,
where's the order? Where's the structure? Where's the accountability?
And I think that's swung to the opposite side, because what happened is all the beautification of the church became like more about just the church rather than it did anything,
right,
about the people within the church.
Right.
And so
it's true.
There's obviously the pendulum shift to the opposite side.
Right.
But you can't just always be shifting. And I don't want to just be like, it's not about people at all. It's,
yeah,
only about a building.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. And this is not a legalistic push to, you know, condemn people. No, there's life. There's a place,
yeah,
that the called out ones of God are to gather and to function in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So church is not a building. It's a people. I agree. But those people have to meet in a building somewhere. Mm-hmm. Even the first believers, no, they did not have church buildings. I understand that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't because they didn't want to. It,
yeah,
was because that was not a functional part of the culture at that time.
Yeah.
There was the temple courts that they could gather in, and they did. But they broke bread from house to house. They were,
yeah,
still in buildings. It was what was available to them at the time. So,
and you could also, again, using two words here, there's descriptive and prescriptive.
Mm.
Just because it describes that the church wasn't meeting in a local place in a certain building,
right,
at a certain set time with a certain service order, doesn't mean, hey, therefore it's bad and the church ought to only meet in a home where it's just vibes. Like, that's not described in the Bible. That's not even described in the Bible, no. You know? So yeah. Just because that is what happened doesn't mean that is what has to happen.
Ought to happen, yeah. All right, here's another one that people say, well, Jesus condemned religious hypocrisy, so therefore, I'm not going to be a part of that because the church is full of hypocrites. Yeah.
Well, maybe that one you came from. Maybe ones you've been
you need
a
to find a different church.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say or argue it's that that's real. The point of the church not doing its job.
Yeah.
That's because a bunch of people in that church just said, it's just the people, you know, we don't need to make any, you know, hardline decisions on this, hold people accountable for their sin and preach truth and make decisions on membership and what that looks like and hold people accountable and discipline. That's what happens that's what you get when you don't do any of those things. You get a church full of hypocrites, and that causes people to not want to be drawn to the church,
to the church.
Body of Christ.
Yeah. So, exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Definitely.
Then there are people who say, well, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, so wherever I am, that's enough. I can go to the lake, I can go to the store, I can stay home, and I am the church.
Again, I would say where there is truth in that, you are a part of the church. Mm-hmm. You yourself are not the church, and it doesn't just mean wherever you go, church services happen.
Right.
Yes, you can be a Christian. It's the analogy we've used before as well of like when our family gathers, here is our family. We are a family. And then whenever everyone leaves, we're still all family, but we're not the gathered family.
Yes.
Like I'm in my home with my family, with my people.
Yep.
And it's not, I'm still a part of the larger picture of the family, but the gathered family together, that's what actual family is. The same concept with the church.
Yeah, so the book of Ephesians and Corinthians talks about the fact that the body has been put together and there are giftings, there are callings, there are pastors, there are leaders, there are those who have the gift of mercy and those who have the gift of prophecy and those who have the gift of organization, those who have the gift of serving. Then there are people who are at all different levels of the faith and we all need one another in this body. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of a body, a literal physical body is put together. Yep. So, you know, one member of the body, one functioning part can't say, well, I don't need any other parts of the body. Oh, you do. Yeah. Every part of my physical body needs every other part of my physical body. And so to be a part of a church is to come into an environment where you submit yourself to the whole to minister to others and to be ministered to.
Exactly.
And so you can't do that alone.
Yep.
You cannot get the full experience of following Jesus by not being engaged in the full life activities of a church.
Yeah. And again, like the idea of like serving one another. Yep. It's like there's a push against the idea of actually having a church building and going and meeting together. It's why is there a push against that from Christians? Mm-hmm. You know, like there ought to be you're telling me there's going to be a set time in which I get to actually minister to and bring praise to God alongside other believers. That's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
You know, it shouldn't be that would kind of mess up my schedule and that would kind of be a bummer. And, I've been hurt by that before. That doesn't mean that God hasn't called that to happen.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Again, like the context of the New Testament letters are written to and for the churches. Mm. Yes, for the growth of Christian living and discipleship and making disciples, but it's written to and for church bodies. Mm-hmm. For that to be the context in which it's lived out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So other people would say, well, look, I follow God. I don't follow man-made religion. Yeah. And all that church stuff, that's just man-made religion.
See, go pick up a church history book for more.
And it's not. This is not man-made religion. This is God-breathed faith given to us in the Word of God. We're not just following something that's been handed down to us through denominational lines, even though much of it has, but even that is based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we're not starting with something man-made, we're starting with something God-breathed and God-formed.
Exactly.
And for that, we follow what the Bible says about that and attempt to align what church looks like according to the Bible, not according to any other man-made structure.
Yeah, definitely.
And I hate it for people who have been involved in churches where they were horribly burned, mistreated, abused, and there was legalism, and there was emptiness, and there was false religion. I'm heartbroken for that, for people. But just because it happened there doesn't mean that that's happening everywhere.
Yeah. It's the classic line of the church didn't hurt you, the people did.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's like, it's not that the whole church, again, we're talking about the worldwide, all believers are a part of the church. So to be like, this family or these families, a couple of these families hurt me and my family, so now therefore I'm done with all Christians, it is like way too large of a blanket to cast onto that, you know, that there needs to be an understanding that not everyone is like just those families. You know?
Well, and it's an indicator of unhealed trauma in your life.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, there's no life coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to be, that's why he calls us to be a part of the body of Christ, because it's there that we learn to practice the one another's. It's there that we learn to forgive. It's there that we learn to understand, to give ourselves away, and to have people give themselves away for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
To pray for us, to care for us, to minister to us when we're in our time of need. Mm-hmm. That's the body at work. Yeah.
So good.
So, I mean, I hate it for that. Did we get to number this last one here? Okay. So the other one that people say is, well, I don't want to be controlled by leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. That sounds like you've been burned horribly in a situation. And it is true. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches you and who leads you and who guides you. But God is the one who has established the church so that there are pastors who are equipped to teach. You are not to look to them only. You're even to listen to what they say and go home and check what they say by the scriptures to confirm that it is true.
Yep.
But there is wisdom in God's design for creating the church so that there are those who do lead and give order and can give care like a shepherd over a flock of sheep who protects them from wolves from the outside and then who feeds those who are inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry you've been in a situation where you have felt controlled. That is not the spirit of Jesus over his flock.
And I would also say the answer to the pains and wounds of, I've been under tyrannical leadership or abusive people.
Yep.
It is not deserting authority, though. That's not the answer.
Mm.
The answer is not in, I just need to get out from under anyone telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where healing is, though.
Correct.
Our whole life is to be submit yourself to God.
Yes.
Resist the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're submitting ourselves to God, to the ultimate authority,
mm-hmm.
we should also be submitting ourselves to the authority he has put in place.
Yes.
And to people, again, it's like even the idea, even pastors should have other people they submit to.
Mm-hmm.
We are not tyrant humans.
Correct.
We are to submit ourselves to other people and all in all submitted unto God, right? Yep.
Even the context for a healthy marriage begins in Ephesians 5 with submit to one another.
Yeah.
Before it ever says anything about husband and his role and the wife and her role, it says submit yourselves therefore to one another. So it's out of the church, out of the experience of a healthy church that you find even the direction for what a marriage should look like.
Just about to go there too, yeah.
I mean, husbands are to love their wives like Jesus loves the church. And the wife is to love their husband the same way the church loves Jesus. So
to be outside of that is only going to bring question into what does that even practically look like? What is the church loving Christ and Christ loving the church? What does that even look like? You can't know unless you're in it.
Correct.
Not just attending it. That's the other thing is like, it's not just a matter of, hey, just attend church so you're not sinning, you know,
but
it is to be fully giving yourself to church, to the authority and to the idea of God, of what he has established as his body, the church body, you know.
To give yourself for the very same thing that Jesus gave himself fully for.
Yes.
The church.
Yes. That's so good.
Yeah. That's so good. That's the point. And so why would we not want to give ourselves fully to the very thing that Jesus gave himself for? If we're going to say, I want to be like Christ, well, then the church has to be that place.
So good.
That's the calling. So, yeah, I was just thinking about even in Hebrews 10, There's a very familiar passage, if you've been around the faith sometime, about church that people use. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking this assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. There's so much truth there in that. But what's fascinating to me is what's right before that. The very words that precede that are this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. So the whole confession of our hope, the whole bedrock of our faith is wrapped up, not just in a set of doctrine, but in a practice of a body, of a church together.
Yeah. Not just a people, but an actual working of those people, the ordered working of those people.
Exactly.
That's so good. That's one of the other passages from Ephesians 4 that I was thinking of as well, that talks about what the purpose of the church is. And again, this idea of there is a order to be had in Christianity.
Right.
Ephesians 4:11, it says this: and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So all different roles of authority and leadership for other believers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if you are saying, I want to grow as a believer, if you're saying, I need to be shaped, then you will go to the local gathered body of believers and be a part of that church, not just attending as a consumer, but I'm going to sit under, I'm going to listen, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to receive. There's going to be a dynamic relationship with me and the body of Christ because I'm a part of it.
Yeah, it's true.
So good.
So is it a sin to not be a part of a local church?
I would say it is to put yourself apart from where God works.
Yes.
Which I would say that's pretty darn close to being considered the sin category.
Yeah. And to say, I don't want to be actively engaged in the very thing that Jesus is actively engaged in, that is actually connected to him. If he is the head of it, we are the body that he has promised to protect, that he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that he himself is actively building.
Yeah.
So to say, I don't want to be a part of what Jesus is building, Jesus is about, Jesus is head of, Jesus gave his life for.
It would separate yourself from him, which then what is sin? Separation from God.
So
fascinating.
It is. So for anyone engaged and already involved in the church, I think this just drives even further the blessing of what it is to be involved in.
Yeah.
But it drives the sense of persuasion that ought to be in us. Like, I need to be encouraging others to come get involved.
Yeah.
I'm not going to beat them over the head with a legalism stick.
Yeah.
But I'm going to encourage them and tell them this is where life is. Yes. This is where lives are being changed. This is where I'm being changed. This is where God is at work. This is where Jesus is leading. Jesus is guiding. Jesus is protecting.
So
I want you to be inside to see all that he's doing, because he has much he wants to do in you.
So good. That's cool. So good. Love it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. If you're not at Vertical, man, come join us. Come see what God's doing here.
Yeah.
We are seeing lives changed, and we're seeing Jesus lead his church and free his church and protect his church.
Yeah.
So come join us as we lift him up and live him out.